On yesterday's show, we spoke with Boyan Slot, a 23-year-old from the Netherlands who came up with an idea to clean up the tons of garbage floating in the world's oceans, specifically the waste that's become concentrated in a giant plastic garbage patch in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Slot's idea is to deploy a system of floating U-shaped booms and screens that concentrate the plastic for collection.
When we have deployed all systems in this Great Pacific Garbage Patch, we expect to be able to clean up 50% of the patch in 5 years' time. We are very confident that the oceans can be without plastic again within the first half of this century.
It is an ambitious goal, and his company, Ocean Cleanup, has raised some $31 million to make it happen. But not everyone shares Boyan Slot's optimism. Marcus Erickson is with the Five Gyres Institute in California. He says the ocean's good at pushing the trash out.
The ocean is pretty dynamic in pushing it onto beaches or sinking it. So being out to sea in the middle of the ocean trying to collect the trash that's there, I think it's the wrong place to look.
Boyan Slot agrees that production of plastic has to be addressed, but what about cleaning up the end waste? I mean, how do we deal with that? It's been huge in the news this past week.
Sure. There's a lot of trash washing ashore. There was one story just recently, just a couple of days ago in Tasmania, a lot of beach trash washing ashore there. And that's evidence, once again, the ocean is pushing out to shore. I mean, doing beach cleanups is one way to deal with the trash that's already out there. Another way is to support the Fishing for Litter campaigns, incentivizing fishermen who are already out there to pick up trash they see. But the biggest bang for your buck is to follow the sort of the environmental movement happening on this issue. You've got over almost 1,000 NGOs worldwide have come together working on upstream prevention. And that's where kind of all the conversation is now between industry and NGOs working on this, trying to stop the flow from land to sea.
It kind of sounds like you see Boyan Slot as an idealist, but not really road tested to solve this problem. He seems to think that a simple solution is the way to deal with this. You don't see it as that simple?
I don't think it's simple at all. I mean, the complexities in many issues is prevention, trying to see the systems that create the problem in the first place. And that's where a lot of the hard work is happening. It's far upstream trying to stop this flow of trash to sea. If you pick up what's out there, you're not stopping, the problem continuing far into the future. You got to stop the source. I'd say maybe 10 years ago when the idea of garbage patches came into the public sphere, that's when people began to think about, okay, let's go out there and go get it. But this, if you look at the current modeling, where the ocean currents take trash, if you're going to go in the ocean try and get trash, the biggest bang for your buck is to be close to shore or at river mouths. That's what most cities are doing. You can see a lot of cities are putting booms in their rivers to capture trash. That's the furthest downstream is really sensible to go.
So your book, Junkraft, its subtitle is The Rising Tide of Activism to Fight Plastic Pollution. It's a great title. What exactly is this rising tide of activism, all these NGOs? What are they actually doing?
So what they're doing, they're coming together and working on upstream mitigations. I can tell you in Southeast Asia, there's a big push to create these localized material recovery facilities where we're getting really good at sourcing where the trash is coming from and dividing into recyclables and compostables. And the residuals left over, finding a way to deal with those and redesign those products and packaging. And that's the hard work. That's where the rubber meets the road, to work really hard to stop that flow. And it's happening. And that's where, for example, the Break Free from Plastic movement has just coalesced in the last year. It's over 800 nonprofits worldwide with one vision statement. And that's where the focus is. I'm sorry to say, but I think these downstream mitigations in the middle of the ocean is a distraction from the work that almost all environmental NGOs are focused on. Interesting, when I'm on these gyre expeditions crossing these garbage patches, what you mostly find out there, and what I think Boyan's mostly going to capture, is fishing gear, big buoys and fishing nets. And, I wish him success to capture trash, but I would like to see him focus upstream where we're seeing lots of the packaging, the small single-use throwaway packaging, styrofoam and thin films and plastic bags, that leave our coastlines, that don't make it to the gyres. They fragmented this plastic smog long before it gets to where he plans to put his nets.
What advice do you have for our listeners who may be thinking, well, I recycle all my plastic. I'm good to go. It's being dealt with responsibly. Are we also in this country, we've got to be guilty in some way?
I think if you look really close at recycling in the United States, the EPA reports of the plastic we make in 2013, only 9.2% got recycled. And if you look at the economics of recycling, it's not really panning out. So it's less about recycling and more about reduction and supporting smarter packaging and products. I would tell listeners, you know, look at your shopping cart. When you go grocery shopping, you're not buying just the product, you're buying the packaging as well. And think of the entire life cycle. Recycling doesn't cut it 100%. I think reducing the single-use throwaway stuff we get with plastic is going to go a long way to saving our seas.
Marcus Erickson of the Five Gyres Institute. His new book is called Junk Raft, An Ocean Voyage and a Rising Tide of Activism to Fight Plastic Pollution. Great to speak with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And who are the top polluters when it comes to plastic in the sea? The world's Patrick Wynn can tell you. Check out his 2-minute video over at PRI.org.